the organization of the church. Titus 1. We shall conclude this quarter's lessons by studying Paul's epistle to Titus. A converted pagan, Titus accompanied Paul from Antioch to the first church council in Jerusalem in 49 AD. He is mentioned by Paul several times subsequently. Paul sent Titus from Ephesus to Corinth as his representative. He met Paul later in Macedonia and carried the second Corinthian letter to that church. Following Paul's release from Rome, he left Titus in Crete and later wrote him the letter from Macedonia, urging him to meet him at Nicopolis on the Adriatic coast. Titus was with Paul during his second imprisonment in Rome, from whence he was sent to Dalmatia, in present Yugoslavia. Titus is the patron saint of Crete, and his name was a war cry of Cretan Christian soldiers when invaded by the Venetians. Part number one, Paul's authority. The apostle opens his letter with a salutation in which he calls himself the bond slave of Jesus, by whose authority and commission he is an apostle to stimulate the faith of God's chosen people and to lead them on to a full knowledge of religious truth. Williams. Paul was a minister or servant in the true sense. Before honor is humility. To fill a high place, Ellen White continues, before men, heaven chooses the worker who, like John the Baptist, takes a lonely place before God. The most childlike disciple is the most sufficient to labor for God. The heavenly intelligences can cooperate with him who is seeking not to exalt self, but to save souls. Christian Service 247. Part number two, the aim of Paul's ministry. Paul was fully conscious of the scope and purpose of his ministry. He listed six areas of special concern. First, the pastor must continually be ready to stimulate the faith of God's elect. Christ explained how this group came about. He said literally, many are the being called out ones, few the choosing for themselves ones. Those who accept Christ's invitation into the kingdom become his elect. Second, the pastor should know and understand, not merely theoretical, but experientially, what is the truth, Jesus himself and his word inspired, and the effects it brings about through godliness. Third, he should hope ceaselessly for the everlasting life. It is the blessed hope which buoys up the heart of all believers. This saving knowledge was promised before the world began by the Holy Spirit. Sixth, was commanded to me by the Savior who committed his work, Paul affirmed. Notice his unique phrases, God and our Savior. God himself was crucified with Christ, for Christ was one with the Father. 5 Bible Commentary 1101, Ellen White corroborated. Those who see Christ in his true character and receive him into the heart have everlasting life. It is through the Spirit that Christ dwells in us, and the Spirit of God received into the heart by faith is the beginning of life eternal. Desire of Ages 388. Part number three. Aim of Paul's letter. Titus 1:4-6. All of this advice left by Paul to Titus must be considered within the framework of faith which all Christians share. To this end, I have left you in Crete. Notice how he says, grace, mercy, peace. The same wonderful words he has used before, he uses again to Titus. My own son, after the common faith. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. This is organize. All things should be done decently in order, that are wanting, that are left undone, that still have to be done. Ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. And these elders then, he goes on to say, must be blameless. The husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. A bishop must be blameless. He is the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Now these are all negatives. These are things that he is not to do. He has told us the positives in verse 6. He is to be blameless. Nothing in his life should be such as to be pointed out as smearing the good name of Christ and his church. In all these wonderful attributes, Paul said to Timothy that he should teach, educate, exhort, that these elders whom he chose should develop this kind of character. These, the next section of the lesson, these teachers should be such as they are called to be efficient in the service of God. They are his stewards. Christ told a story about an unjust, an unwise, an embezzling steward. A steward is a person into whose care the master entrusts his goods, puts his property into the hands of his stewards, so that the stewards might deal with them to the master's advantage. He is to be a blameless steward of God, a lover of hospitality. This means that he is going to share his home, the food, shelter that he has with other people. A lover of good men. The company he keeps must be good. The margin says good things. That is, his hobbies as well as his friends must all be good. The word good has the force of well-being. A good person is one whose life assists in the well-being of others. God is good, and God's love and mercy and grace and power work to the well-being of every one of his creatures. Now, we already thought of Paul's word sober. This means that he must not partake at all of wine. He must also be just, giving to every man what is his due. Holy, holiness is wholeness for God. Temperate is self-controlled. Now the elder must hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Sound doctrine. Ready to exhort and to convince those who argue against the faith. For there are many unruly, Paul continued, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. These are converted Jews, partly converted only. They still clung to many of their traditions, many of their Jewish ceremonial ways that are not found in the Bible, and they argued that a Christian must become a Jew before he can be a true Christian. There are cases in which there are missionaries who argue the same way. The converts must become American or British or Swedish or German. That is, they must dress the way these foreigners dress. They must eat the way the foreigners eat. They must talk the way the foreigners talk before they can become really civilized Christians. Nothing in the Bible about how they should dress or what they should eat. There are certain basics laid down, but apart from that, national ethnic differences should not be subverted. And then he goes to these unruly deceivers and false teachers whose mouths must be stopped, subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not to teach for filthy lucre's sake, that they might make some money. One of themselves, even one of the Cretan poets, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." Paul was ready to keep before Titus the fact that he was dealing with people who were recognized by their own perceptive leaders and speakers to have problems themselves. There are some folk who are more prone to prevaricate, to tell lies than others. And to deal with them becomes a problem. They are ready by their culture to tell you what they think you want them to tell you, whether it's true or not. And to deal with them and present them the true word and to hear from them the true word is very difficult. And Paul said of this Cretan estimate, "This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith, not given heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." Now, as we think of these problems that Titus was facing compared with the problems that Timothy faced, we see differences. The subtle, biblical, argumentative deviations from the truth of Scripture are not encountered here. These differences of temperament are much more basic and elemental. Here you've got people who are gluttonous, who are liars, who are deceivers. They are much more interested in filthy lucre's sake. They are cruder. The others were more subtle. But their subversion of the believers ended the same way. They tended to divert from the truth. "Wherefore rebuke them sharply." They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient to every good work, reprobate. Now, as you think of this lesson and you think of Timothy's lesson, the end result are the same. We must look out for those who are causing anyone and ourselves to deviate from the truth at whatever level. These were much more physical. They were much more bodily, crude, materialistic. The others were subtle, theological, spiritual, psychological. But if the false teacher subverts people and takes them away from Christ, the danger is still just the same. Paul left Titus in no doubt about how he should deal with subversive teachers. His approach should be studied by those who have to deal with their descendants in the church today.